Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of God's praise be heard. Who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip?
For you, O God, tested us.
You have tried us as silver is tried.
You brought us unto the net. You laid affliction on our lines.
You let the people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us forth to a spacious place.
I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was troubled.
I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatlings, with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats.
Come and hear, all you who worship God, and I will tell you what God has done for me.
I cried aloud to God, who was highly praised with my tongue.
If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
But truly God has listened, and has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, or removed his steadfast love from me.
Our second reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 17, verses 22 through 31. You can find that in the New Testament of your Pew Bible on page 129. In this part of Acts, Paul has gone to Greece, and is actually in Athens, and is speaking to the Athenians. So follow along. I encourage you to do that on page 129. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, To an Unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, He who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor He made all nations to inhabit the whole earth. And He allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for Him and find Him, though indeed He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are His offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now He commands all people everywhere to repent, because He has fixed a day on which He will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed. And of this He has given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 22. It can be found on page 220 in your Pew Bible's New Testament. Hear these words. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your heart sanctify Christ the Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. In order to bring you to God, he has put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, whom in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigure now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and the powers made subject to him. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us now turn with that thought of studying War No More. Let us turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. A bit of context. We are yet again at the Last Supper. Jesus is preparing his apostles, his disciples, his students, if you will, for his crucifixion and death. He's trying to help them understand what's going to happen, and he's trying to prepare them. If you turn to page 103 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible, you'll find this section of John. It's a good one to follow along with. And this is Jesus speaking. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, if the newspaper ads weren't enough, if Don Boyle's tie wasn't enough, I'm sure you're well aware, you know fully that tomorrow is Memorial Day. Beyond the start of summer, underneath all the parties and the barbecues and the concerts, we remember our loved ones who have fought and died in service to their country. We celebrate and commemorate the men and women who were members of the armed forces, and we salute all those still serving today. Especially in our congregation, Memorial Day is an important day, not only to every member of this nation. So many of us were in military service or are members of families with service members. The memory and the values and the ultimate commitment of these fallen heroes live on in those of us who remember and honor them. These are the meanings that we ought to pass on to our young people. Because we remember, the spirit of those who are gone remains alive in each of us. We are not alone. In like manner, as we just read in John, Jesus promised his disciples and he promised each one of us that he would never leave us alone. In that upper room, Jesus was trying to soften the blow of his crucifixion and death. And he promised his followers that even though he would soon be gone, he would provide for them an advocate to be with them forever, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Jesus wanted them and us to remember him, but he was also providing a source of strength and faith and wisdom. In very real terms, the Holy Spirit is the living promise and the living presence of Jesus Christ. This living Spirit enables us to live faithful lives in spite of the pressures of our world. Because we remember, the Spirit of Jesus remains alive in each of us. We are not alone. Back in the first century, in very uncertain times, similar in many respects to the conditions of our world in the 21st century, Peter the Rock of the church had very good advice for his congregation. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your heart sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. Last Sunday, I was honored. Our youth group invited me to lunch, and they asked me to stick around for a discussion about a wide range of theological issues. And I'm sorry that more of them aren't here, but I got to tell you, if our young adults are any indication of this new generation, and I believe they are, then I am confident about the future of our church. Anyway, Colin Armstrong asked about the meaning of a part of one of the prayers he had heard me pray when I asked that all of us give our witness as an expression of our commitment to Jesus. And he said, what does that mean, our witness? Well, the words of Peter are the exact meaning of giving witness to Christ. He said, always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. In other words, we should live a life that clearly demonstrates, without words of any kind, that demonstrates the love of Jesus Christ. It ought to be entirely evident that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, abides fully in you. And when someone looks at you, they will experience this calm presence, this holy joy, this faithful optimism, this hope that you have, and they will be curious. You should be ready with gentleness and reverence and boldness to explain to them that the source of your life, the foundation of your life, is Jesus Christ. This is Christian witness. I want to leave you with these beautiful words of Jesus. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. My brothers and sisters, the peace of Christ be with you and in you. Amen.